What's up, everyone? Welcome to another edition of the Mongols podcast. I'm Mike. He's Kev. Coming up on today's show, we'll recap the Hounds' first game under Coach Brandt in their late night 1-0 loss to New York Red Bulls 2. Let's go!
Can you believe that, guys?
No, I mean, that is one of the craziest sequence of events we've seen in quite a period of time.
In the top right corner, gentlemen. Out to the middle. Back to Kerr.
Happy Memorial Day, Kev.
Happy Memorial Day, Mike.
We're recording this on Sunday night. Memorial Day is actually tomorrow, Monday. Hopefully everybody's having a safe and happy holiday. Thanks to all of the men and women who put their lives on the line so that we can enjoy the, you know, reasonably cushy lifestyle that we have, and we could do things like podcasts. Especially a sorrow felt thanks to those who have lost loved ones while serving. We have a number of family members and friends who have served time in the military. We know a number of people who have lost loved ones. It's not an easy thing. And just make sure that, you know, you don't lose sight of that this weekend. Enjoy the barbecues, enjoy the cookouts, enjoy fireworks if you have them. But, keep those types of friends and families in mind for the sacrifice that they paid so that we can have those sorts of things. But so happy Memorial Day, everybody. Let's get right into it. The Hounds went up and took on Red Bulls 2 on Saturday night at 10 p.m., basically following the Red Bulls 1 match earlier that evening. Funny enough, the Red Bulls actually had two players that played in that game earlier, Sean Davis and Brandon Allen, and then turned around and had to suit up for Red Bull 2 to play against us.
I didn't check. Did they, like, start the Red Bulls
yes.
game? They did. So they played a
full... I didn't check to see if Sean Davis and Brandon Allen started
Okay.
I'm assuming they didn't go a full 90.
Right.
That
would have
been
nuts.
45 for us, too. Yeah, that would have been crazy.
Okay.
No, but both Sean Davis and Brandon Allen only put in 45 minutes. They didn't play the entire game for Red Bulls 2. But
still on a hot, what they kept saying, like 82, 83, high humidity.
Humid, yeah.
Yeah.
And this is something before we even get into the game that I made note of, and I want to get your thoughts on this. Do you think, you know, we have the Riverhounds have a partnership with Columbus Crew where they can send players down to us to basically train with the Riverhounds. The relationship that the Red Bulls have with Red Bulls 2 is that obviously these players just sort of float between the lineups. Do you think that having players play for Red Bull 2 that have at least some experience or have that opportunity to have some experience playing at the MLS level ultimately benefits their... younger, I shouldn't say they're younger, but their USL affiliate team? Like, do you think that gives them an advantage that the Riverhounds don't have because they can't go up and play at a higher level?
Right. I don't think it gives the USL team the advantage. I think it gives the individual players the advantage, if that makes any sense. Because I think it's... Obviously, I think the players can benefit from stepping up into an MLS squad and playing with that type of caliber of player. I think that only benefits you when you're putting yourself against maybe a slightly higher quality of opposition, as well as maybe training. Maybe they get more opportunities to train with New York Red Bulls, like one. So I think from a player standpoint that helps, but I don't know. I really, as far as like team cohesion is concerned, and just the kind of mental state of where the Red Bulls 2 USL team would be, I don't know. It wouldn't feel, I would assume it wouldn't feel as independent from the kind of MLS squad. And because of that, I think that you could end up suffering as a team. So I wouldn't, I don't know. I quite like not being affiliated, or at least directly so, affiliated to an MLS team like the Red Bulls 2 are. Could it improve our players a bit more? Maybe, but I don't know. Do you kind of get what I'm saying? I think on an individual basis, it improves them, but I think the team suffers on a whole.
So you're saying that somebody like a Sean Davis, who bounces between the Red Bulls USL team and the Red Bulls MLS team, he ultimately has the opportunity to develop more, but whether or not that benefits the USL team as a whole is still up for debate.
Exactly. I mean, I think I've seen it. I mean, people, it's this kind of a well-noted thing. I mean, you know, when you're a young player and maybe you're in a youth system in whatever team in whatever part of the world you are in, you know, you're part of the youth setup. You get called up to the first squad, the senior squad. You play your first competitive match. You're training with them, you know, for a couple weeks, and then you get sent back down to the under 21s or something like that. Your mind is just like, well, I don't want to be here. Like, I've already been up there. Like, I've already tasted that. And now you're sending me back down here. I feel above this. And then they kind of have two routes. One, they can kind of let it define them, and then they slip back down into potentially even a worse form of play. Or they kind of say, no, all right, I have to be the best player on the pitch every week now to make sure that I catapult myself back into the first team. But I don't know. I think it messes with you as a player. You know, to kind of jump from one squad to another so quickly. And I mean, and there is, especially in the New York Red Bulls situation, a clear hierarchy of, you know, this is the quote unquote better team and this is the worst team. So I think it just messes with you as a player, and I don't think it's beneficial for the USL squad.
I mean, on sort of a personal level, to relate it, when I was a freshman in high school, I remember one game in particular where I didn't play the JV game because I was supposed to get time in the varsity game. And then the way the varsity game played out, I didn't end up making it to that game either. So I didn't play the entire night. And it was that situation where it was like I was too good for JV, but I wasn't good enough for varsity. So that's like, what team am I on? Right. Like, you don't know. And it sort of works its way out. But I just thought it's interesting that the Red Bulls have this opportunity because they do have this hierarchy. They have this youth system that then feeds the USL team. The USL team then feeds the pro team. That you have a situation similar to what we're all hyped about for this upcoming weekend with Rob Vincent coming back from the MLS to play with us, where you have this potential team of players who have the ability to go up and play with the first team, and then they just say, okay, we're going to send them back now, and they're going to try to help the USL team. I think it can help with some leadership things. I think ultimately, if you could do it with more than one player, and you're talking about three or four or five guys that you're now getting up at the MLS level, and you're getting them to come back down and play at the USL level, I think that gives your USL team a bit of a boost. But it was just something interesting that I thought, you know, is there something the Riverhounds could be missing because they don't have this sort of partnership that you have somebody like an LA 2 or a Timbers 2 or obviously Red Bulls 2 have.
I don't know. I don't think they're missing much. Cause also I think I'm taking this as from the perspective of this kind of player mentality position. Also, I don't know. Going back to your kind of personal example, if you're on the JV squad and, you know, someone from the senior squad gets sent down, I don't know. How do you feel about that? I mean, you don't really, you certainly don't recognize them as one of your own. You know, you're part of a core group of guys that probably, you know, have come up together and you know each other. And here's this guy that's supposed to be better than you, and he slots in. You don't maybe know him as much and all this other stuff. I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of that. And I don't know. Staying with that kind of player mentality perspective theme, I actually wanted to quickly point out something that I thought was really interesting during the commentary of the Red Bulls game before we deeply jump into it. The commentators did mention how one of the big things that Coach Brandt is going to have to deal with, you know, his entire life he's been coaching students, essentially. And now he's dealing with, you know, quote-unquote men who have, you know, stronger opinions, who have, you know, houses and mortgages and rents and all this other stuff. And I don't know.
Yeah, set in their ways.
Yeah, and I know that's an interesting dynamic that I never would have thought of. I was like, oh yeah, it's just a different league, and you step up and play with that thing. But I mean, yeah, just the age difference now. It'll be an interesting, I think, challenge for Coach Brandt, and hopefully he adapts to it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know I've said this before, and I don't want to, you know, sound like I'm in love with them, but I thought David Goss and Heath Pierce did a good job on the coverage. I thought it was a well-covered game. They clearly knew their stuff, not just about the Red Bulls, but also about the Riverhounds. There was a lot of in-depth stuff they went into, so that was good. Let's actually talk about the game. So the Hounds lost 1-0 thanks to a Junior Fleming's goal in the 8th minute. Fleming's basically got the ball as he was making a diagonal run through the box. Morel was right by his side the whole time, but Morel wasn't in a position to actually stop a shot, and Fleming's basically hit it with his left foot across his body, and Vargas was off his line a bit. He had 95% of the net covered if the shot was going that way, and Fleming's just put it in that 5% that Vargas couldn't get to, and I didn't really think it was something that you could fault Vargas on. I mean, what do you think?
I don't think we could fault Vargas on it. I think once he got to that position, Fleming's got to that position, Vargas was in a good position, and it was a good finish. I think leading up to it, though, I don't know. I have in my notes here, I felt like we were kind of all over the place at the back when that happened. It was Russell and
Willie Hunt.
Well, no, I think it was Russell and Campbell were, I think, pushed up a bit more. And Hunt and Morel were kind of dropped a bit deeper, and so we kind of had this like split back four, and some of the midfielders were back and some weren't, and so we weren't as organized as I'm sure Coach Brent would want them to be, and I think that just opened up space for that diagonal run, and they allowed the, you know, and it was a tidy finish in the end. But yeah, I think we could, we should have definitely, I think, done better organizationally leading up to that goal. But once he got in the box and once the ball was at his feet, it was just a great finish.
Yeah. And let's talk about the lineup a little bit, because I think the biggest thing that we can take away from this game, we said coming into it that we don't really care win, lose, or draw. What we want to really see is what is Coach Brandt trying to instill on this team? What is his system? How is he going to play? And coming right out, the Hounds announced that we were going to be playing a 4-4-2, which during the broadcast, they announced it as more of a 4-2-3-1. But basically, the way we came out was we had Vargas in goal. We had Morel, Hunt, Campbell, and Russell across the back, which it looks familiar. If we're talking 4-2-3-1, then we had Green and Kerr sitting in front of the defense. And then we had Herzog, I think, on the left side, and then Okai in the middle, Maloto on the right side, and then Dwayne Ewert up top. If it's a 4-4-2, then you have Herzog and Ewert up top and the other guys in the midfield. So I don't think there's anything too surprising. For those who sort of thought that Coach Brandt was going to come in and just sort of clean shop and put in, not necessarily clean shop, but fill this team with a bunch of new faces to try to turn around our luck, that didn't happen. The one positive that I thought was sliding Russell back to right side D. I thought, you know, one of my takeaways is I really like him back there on defense. So,
yeah. And I mean, the surprise, you said there wasn't many surprises. I was surprised to see Green not at like fullback, and I was so happy that Mike Green got to play in the midfield. I was like, yes. I was like, I see Mike Green on the lineup. But I also see Russell and Morel, so that gave me hope. And sure enough, Green was in the midfield, which I was super happy about. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, at times, it almost looked like a more fluid 4-5-1. I thought Dwayne Ewert played more of the striker than Herzog did. And I thought he did a really good job hustling around. I mean, it's a thankless job what he did up there. Chasing down balls, but he was high energy, and especially for the first 35 or so, I thought he chased down things really well. And now we just have to kind of, I don't know, maybe get him some more support. But at the same time, you know, we're away, first game under Coach Brandt, you know, we're not going to be lighting it up, I think, on offense. So the industry was the important thing, I think, on this one.
Yeah, and so we said, you know, less concern about the score, more about seeing progress. You know, Coach Brandt really only had, I think the talk was four practices and a walkthrough, which is not a ton to get a team to buy into, you know, whatever system it is that you're coming in and you're trying to adapt to. So we can't look at this game and say, this is his system, because who knows what actually happened. You know, he talked about he wants to play much more direct. He wants to play much more vertical, not a lot of side to side. I saw a lot of side to side in this game. But in terms of the, I guess, Kev, compared to what we saw up to this point, was there anything that you saw in this game that is different from what you saw leading up to now?
Yeah, I did. And like you said, I think there were times where there was like potentially more horizontal passing and not even passing on the ground. There were a couple of times where we just lifted the ball up over the top. And so I made a note thinking of we weren't playing like, you know, Brandt's way yet. I think we were playing Brandt's structure, but his play not so much. Which is fully expected. I mean, you're not going to be able to. I think it's much easier to impose a structure and, you know, a formation than it is to completely change how your players pass the ball in four training practices. One thing I did notice, at least me personally, I felt like we played a much higher line than what we usually do. I thought our back four was much higher, which I was very pleased to see. I thought, yeah, and I mean, this might have been just the general bounce we get from a new coach being installed too. But I thought the players were a lot more hardworking and industrious and running around and pressing, which was really good to see. And I mean, and to be complete, so I guess those are the two main things that I saw, and I was just generally happy to see Russell and I mean Russell and Morrell too identified fullbacks at fullback. And then, I guess stepping away from expectations and surprises. I mean, I don't know. Personally, I really think we should have. We could have easily tied, if not won this game. I mean, what the Fleming's goal was on the 8th minute. Herzog had a back post free header. I really.
It was a great cross. It was off a 1-2 with Russell and I think it was Green, and Russell just crossed it perfectly. Herzog was wide open on the back post.
I don't know how he
smacked it off
that
back post.
And I think
that he's gonna be having nightmares about that for like the next week and a half.
Right.
But yeah.
If that goes in, different game. And I don't know. I think that's an indication. When you don't get into situations where you're making chances a lot, then that's a little bit worrisome. But in cases like this, where we just have clear cut chances and we're not putting them away, I mean, to me that just points to a confidence thing, and that's hard to pull yourself out of. You know, how do you get confidence back? And it's by scoring goals. it's this kind of like feedback loop that's tough to break out of. I think the game could have went much differently. I'm not like upset with the loss, I don't think, because I think I saw enough positives out of this. And you know, first game under the new manager, I was never expecting miracles. I mean, another point, I don't know, there was a challenge from their player, I think Metzger or something, where he ended up getting a yellow. To me that was a clear red. I mean, he slid in 2 feet, studs up
on the replay. Yeah, Heath Pierce was like, okay, he's lucky to get away with the yellow on that.
I mean, but, so yeah. then like Herzog had another chance that I forget the exact details of, but I mean, if you look across like two pretty clear-cut Herzog chances, the fact that the Red Bull should have gotten a red card in my opinion. And I felt like, especially in the second half, we kind of had them on the ropes. I mean, you know, that all of these things point to a very positive outlook, in my opinion. I mean, and also just personal taste of tactics. You know, I like seeing us playing a high line. I like, you know, playing an identified striker with Dwayne Ewart and then filling in around that, you know, not making these several small compromises, but just slotting in another player in that position. I was pleased with what I saw. I don't know if you have similar or different feelings.
No, I think in terms of a positive or a few positives to take away from this, I think one was we just played them 2 weeks ago. And we had Romeo Parks on the team, and we lost 3-1 at home. And now we turn around with a new coach, no Parks, and we lose 1-0 at Red Bull Arena. So in terms of goal differential, we only gave up one goal, and we kept the game close. And to your point, there were a number of times in the game where we looked like the better team. We looked like we had them on their heels. We didn't sustain it for a full 90, but we looked like we had them on their heels. You mentioned the, especially in their first goal, it seemed like the defense was a little bit out of sorts. It seemed like there were a number of times that we were playing much more of a scrambling type defense, where there were a lot of times that they were streaking in and we were sort of scrambling to get back into place. And I think that is indicative of the system that we ultimately may see, where if you're going to play a high press game and you're going to have a high line, you're often going to have situations where your defense is trying to recover off of a counter, where the other team is coming back at you quickly and you have to sort of race back and recover from that. So I think that's less indicative of the players on defense and more a symbol of the way this team may be going. I'm not saying we're going to play scrambling defense from here on out. What I'm saying is that because we are trying to learn this new system and we're trying to press higher, the result of that is we're leaving our defense slightly more exposed just because we're not used to that system.
Yeah, I was you finished up by a point that I was going to raise. Yeah, I don't even necessarily think it's so much of our defense being a bit more unorganized and chaotic. I don't think that's the case because of the kind of high line pressing that Coach Brent wants to play. I really think it's just indicative of the players are now trying to do something that they haven't been doing for the past 6, 7, 8 games. And so it's this just, I mean, it's going to take time for them to learn this new system, you know, this new way of structuring themselves. And for me, that's what it was. And it very well could be, you know, a symptom of, yeah, maybe a bit more high energy, high press, high line kind of stuff. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, it's something where, you know, Vargas made a couple key saves. I think that Campbell and Hunt and Russell and Morrell had to clean up a couple times. And this may be something that we're just going to have to get used to over the next few games until the team really falls into a rhythm. I thought it looked sloppy at times, but they also got the job done. You know, there were a number of times where the Red Bulls were coming in on attack, and I'm thinking, like, they're going to put another one away, and they didn't. And that's not saying that, you know, our team was the better team, and they just didn't. Some of it's luck, and some of it's just, you know, we were sort of in the right place at the right time. But there were a couple times where, especially Campbell, I saw him, like, jumping up in the air, and there's, like, one leg. It wasn't pretty, but he got the ball, and he got it out, and this is just something that we're going to have to get used to for the next few games until we really figure out what we're doing.
Yeah, I think we gave the Red Bulls maybe more chances than usual, but I think they were, like, less clear-cut chances than what we've given up in the past. So they're kind of these half chances, and with as good of a shot stopper as Vargas is, you know, I was comfortable. I felt like I don't feel like Vargas made a particularly, like, mind-blowing, amazing save this match. He just made a number of good saves, and that's what you would want your goalkeeper to do in that situation. Something, you know, while we're talking about the high energy kind of style play, something that I thought was really interesting was in the first half, we committed 9 fouls and New York Red Bulls didn't commit any. And I don't, some might look at that as a bad thing. I actually look at that as a very good thing. I'm very happy that that's the case. That means we're not giving them any time on the ball. That means that we have a player on them as soon as they're, you know, as soon as they're getting the ball, and we're not giving up, you know, we're not giving up territory that easily. We're putting up a fight, and especially when you're away on the road, I feel like that's just absolutely necessary. And yeah, I mean, I it was something that I think I was calling out for earlier in the season, were these kind of quote unquote professional fouls. There's a time when you need to slow down the game for your team, and there's a time when you need to, you know, let the other player know you're there and you're not going to give up your ground so easily. And so I was actually really pleased with that number. I guess contrary to normal belief, but
making them earn it. That's all.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think it was a very good thing.
Yeah, and especially, you know, you're, like you said, you're on the road. It's like, we know you guys are going to try to come at us. We're going to make you earn every inch. So I totally agree with that. I don't have a problem with that, as long as, you know, they're smart and it's not, you know, dangerous to
cynical,
the point that you're
right.
endangering somebody. Right. Yeah. So there's two different kinds of fouls that we're talking about here.
Yeah, you never want to intentionally injure anyone or right. go, yeah, in a cynical manner, but, you know.
In terms of other takeaways, I just have here, I really like seeing Russell back on defense. You know, we had talked to him. He had said that that's his preferred position. I thought he did a good job both defensively and offensively. Almost all of our chances came from his involvement off of a cross. He had one where I think it was Morrell who had a one-time cross from the left side that went back post, and Russell dove in to try to head it, and he headed it just wide. He was part of the reason why we got the attacks that we got. So I think if we're able to keep him there and he's able to consistently play there, you know, they brought up on the broadcast about Matt Dolman and how Matt Dolman was a player for us last year who was just, he would terrify other teams because he would streak up the field and he would make these sort of crosses that guys could connect with. And I think that if Russell has time, he could develop into a player like that and potentially even more, because Russell also has the ability to cut inside at times where need be, and has a bit of a more go-to-goal mentality, whereas Dolman was much more of just an assists guy. So I think that was one bright spot that I took away from that. You mentioned we had a much better second half. Whatever Coach Brandt said at halftime, they definitely came out firing on all cylinders. We could have had a few goals right off the bat.
I was really happy with the camera pan to Coach Brandt sometimes. I loved seeing him on the touchline, barking out stuff, clapping them along. And, I mean, because if you really think, if I said, okay, Mike, who is the clear leader on the Riverhounds out there? I don't know if I could pick one. And I mean, there's a number of different ways to lead a team. So you don't necessarily need to be the vocal one barking out instructions to your other players. But I don't see really anyone in this team being the guy that's gonna, you know, give someone an earful if they're out of position or miss a pass. Or just talk someone through a game. I mean, I remember that there was one of the great Arsenal teams of past. It was their undefeated season or something. They had an incredible midfielder in their team, one of the best in the world at that time. After he retired, a couple years after he retired, he said, like, during that season, you know, at this point, he's thought of as one of the best midfielders in the world. And he had to go to his player, this other more senior player, this other player that had more experience, and said, look, I just need you to talk me through the game. He was great in these little instinctive moments, but he needed someone there to talk him through the game. Like, okay, yeah, press there. Okay, now drop back. Okay, do this, do that. I mean, and this is one of the best players in the world we're talking about at that time. There's nothing wrong with needing that and having that on the pitch. I don't feel like we would have anyone on the pitch to even provide that kind of assistance if someone would need it. And so it was nice to see Coach Brandt leading at least from the sideline and barking out orders and talking. Because if we're not going to have a leader on the field, it seems like Coach Brandt's going to at least be a leader on the sideline. So I was happy to see that.
Yeah, and to your point about the lack of leadership on the field, I mean, that's something that we've seen so far this season. I think there's a lot of guys who we hear that in the locker room, they're a really good presence, like Mike Green. Everybody talks about Mike Green. He's a great presence in the locker room. Everybody really respects him. But I also don't see him as being the kind of player on the field to be barking out orders to, you know, somebody like a Corey Hertzog or a Dwayne Ewert or anything like that. And I thought that, you know, our captain who, again, you don't get the captain position so that you're a coach on the field. You get the captain position for different reasons. Some people are much better at just leading by example. You have the silent type captains, and then you have the captains who are the motivational type leaders.
Absolutely.
Who are going to be out there, and they're going to be trying to push you. And I felt that you know, Kevin Kerr in this game in particular, and maybe it was the position he was playing, maybe it was what he was being asked to do, but I felt like there were large swatches of this game where he just completely disappeared for me, where I didn't even know where he was on the field, and then he would pop up and, oh, there he is. But it, there wasn't that typical Kevin Kerr that we've come to see. And again, it could be trying to work out some things in the new system. You have a new coach. You're trying to implement what he's talking about. Maybe he's giving him orders not to do that sort of thing. Who knows? But I think out of all of the players on the field, I would have liked to have seen more from him in this game. But who knows? Who knows what's going to happen here moving forward?
I second all that. Yeah, it's a good point.
You know, one person who I thought in terms of I have it listed here as man of the match for me from this game. I think it's less man of the match, and I think it's more of we've talked about we would love to see this team take on an identity, a blue-collar Pittsburgh identity. And based on a number of the comments that we've gotten on Twitter, on Facebook, on email, people really like the hardworking, grind it out, gonna challenge for every ball, run you down. You know, it's that blue collar, hardworking work ethic type player. And we've seen up to this point that Marshall Hollingsworth is one of those types of players, but unfortunately he's out with a concussion. I thought that in this game, the one person who seemed to be standing out in most of the shots for me, it seemed like he was everywhere on the field, was Corey Hertzog. And I thought it was interesting that he played, like you said, sort of a midfield, sometimes a striker sort of position, but it seemed like he was always sort of involved with the attack in one way or another, whether he's picking up the ball deep and trying to work it around and move it forward, or he's actually up in the attack trying to make something happen. There were a number of times where I think Campbell was up at one point and he got hurt and Campbell's rolling around on the field and the guy who's over there trying to help him out is Hertzog. There was another point where somebody else got hurt. Hertzog was the first one there. Okai gets subbed off. Hertzog jogs back the line to make sure he gives him a high five before he goes off. So I felt that out of all the players on this game, there were a couple of standouts, but he's the one who stood out the most to me.
He showed a lot of kind of mental strength as well. I think, you know, missing such a clear-cut chance that early in the game, it's really easy, especially as an attacking forward, an attacking player, to just kind of go hiding for the rest of the game and just kind of really let that affect you. And he absolutely didn't. I mean, yeah, he was all over the place. I was really pleased with what Hertzog did. We can't just be happy with, you know, quote unquote hardworking performances on his end going forward. We need to start putting the ball in the back of the net, and we need to figure out ways to do that. And while the industry was great in this game, you know, he either needs to somehow get a kick in the confidence, or someone else needs to step in and start supplementing the goals, because yeah, we're in a pretty deep goal drought right now.
Yeah, so let me ask you this: I'm sort of putting you on the spot here. After seeing this game, we obviously have a game a week from now, and Rob Vincent will be back. I don't know when he gets in to train with the team before we play Charleston Battery next Saturday. What would you like to see different from this past game to next week? So let's say they have five more. I don't know if they're going to be training tomorrow because it's actually Memorial Day. But say they have five more training sessions before the next game. What would you like to see the team work on? And if they come out and they do that on Saturday, then you'll be more happy. It'll show signs of progression for you beyond what we saw in this game.
Honestly, just more of the same of what we saw in this game, just better executed. And I think you only get that with just more time on the pitch. So less frantic looks on their face and more of, oh yeah, okay, I get this now. I know I'm supposed to be here. I know I'm supposed to be there. Because like we said for the first goal, I felt like we were kind of a bit out of position and not, you know, I don't know, not focused for when they scored their goal. So I think just more time with Coach Brent on the training pitch is going to help do that. Otherwise, I mean, I really saw it's weird to say I felt this was one of our better performances thus far in the season, even though we lost and didn't score a goal, because there was such clear-cut chances, I think, where we could have. And then, yeah, I mean, just more Yeah, more industry. I mean, we saw glimpses of it in this game, but the more we can kind of latch on to that Pittsburgh identity that you keep talking about, I think the better.
Yeah, I agree. I think there were some moments, and we've talked about this being a team of moments, but there were some moments where you started to see an inkling of what may be in store. And I think, like you said, more time on the pitch, more practice time is just going to help to cement those moments more and more. There were especially a number of times where the team would sort of move from the middle of the field out wide, and you would see a number of really quick 1-2-3 touch passes to get a player breaking in against their other team, and then where they're making a cross in. And all of those were things that we may have seen before, but they seemed almost less intentional before, and this time it was much more direct. It was, this is exactly what we want to do, and this is how we're going to do it. And I think more of that would be good and encouraging.
After hearing you talk there, actually, another thing that I would love to see, and we saw glimpses of it in this game under Coach Brandt, hopefully we see more of it in the coming games, is that we move as a unit and as a team. I think too many times in the past, when a player gets the ball, especially out wide, at best, they have a player to pass to. And almost in every single instance on the pitch, when you get the ball, you should be able to look up and find at least two other players that you can pass the ball to. And that hasn't been the case for the past couple games. And it really wasn't the case the entire game. For this game as well, like you said, there were moments where it was really nice, like 3 one-touch passes back-to-back-to-back, and that sprung someone, and that was great. And that was because we had players around the ball. And so, we just need to... I would love to see more support for the player that's on the ball. You know, every player around that position. And even if you're on... Say the ball goes out to the right wing, I don't necessarily want to see the left wing player sitting on the touchline on the left side. You know, you want to kind of come in a bit narrower and at least offer some kind of, you know, team structure and shape in that position, if that makes any sense. But yeah, that's another thing that just popped in there when you were talking.
No, it does. So I think we've talked enough about this game. Not a little bit. We've talked enough. We're just going to put an axe in it. Obviously, like we said, Hounds lost 1-0. We dropped points, but at the same time, considering the situation, it being a new system, Coach Brandt's first game, we're away. It's, you know, 2:00 in the morning. At least that's what it felt like. I don't think it's a terrible result. You want to get a draw. You want to get 3 points, but we're not going to hold it against them at this point. The Hounds return home next weekend, like we said, to face Charleston Battery. Rob Vincent will be back on loan from DC for one game and one game only. So make sure you get out there for the game. We will have a preview show for that game midweek, as usual. We're going to see if we can talk to somebody to get their thoughts on the game, be it a player, be it a coach, be it whoever, on that preview show. So if you have any questions or you have any thoughts that you want us to direct at anybody in particular on the team, let us know, and we'll be sure to do so. Otherwise, Kev, anything else at this point?
I think that's it.
All right. Well, for Kevin, I am Mike. Everybody have a safe and happy Memorial Day, and we will talk to you very, very soon.
Cheers.